is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, here on Real Liberty Media. I invite you to join me listening to other shows here on Real Liberty Media, shows such as Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony, evolutionarily engaging in counter-propaganda tactics and related work. We have It's All Connected with Grimner and Circle. They connect all the dots. The subject doesn't matter. The connections are real and tangible. Free your mind with Grimner and Moose Girl. You can break from thought constraints on the scope of your vision only by realizing those limits that have been presented to you do not apply to you. They are not real. Those concepts make people feel comfortable by giving them thought boundaries. This is the Free Your Mind Show with Moose Girl and Grimner. Sit back and listen and see your way beyond the world as it has been defined. A Ponder Gander with Vin E. To think and reason, raising expectations through thought-provoking episodes. If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way. Grimner broadcasts a Sunday Blues show live on Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. He plays all kinds of blues, from great oldies like Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf, and John Lee Hooker, to the most modern hard-rocking blues from Joe Bonamassa, Papa Chubby, and Samantha Fish. And all of this stuff between, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jack Bach Project, and Gary Moore. He also plays blues music from classic rock bands, the Rolling Stones, ZZ Top, Cream, etc. And while he is playing the music, we are in the Real Liberty Media chat playing a rousing game of trivia. So come on over and join us every Sunday for some great tunes, fun trivia, and great chat. There's also a Top 10 Countdown where Gary L. and Gigi's Boo play the top 10 songs from years gone by, and they provide some interesting historical facts and trivia about the songs and the era. These are all great shows with great content and inspiring messages. Come spend some time with us. Get to know us, and we will get to know you. Also, if you love what you hear and want to represent, we have Real Liberty Media gear. You will love the artwork, and it will inspire conversation. Check out our Amazon store and Real Liberty Media goods from our website, reallibertymedia.com. This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me here on Real Liberty Media. I always love Saturdays so much. Just getting ready for the show. I kind of prep all week, but, you know, Saturday it's like, hey, let's do this. Finish up the show notes and, you know, get to it. So, hang on one sec. I'm trying to get something settled here on my music. Let's see. I hope you're not hearing that. Okay. I'm ready to go now. Anyway, Saturdays, you know, I put on the Real Liberty Media shirt. I have the Real Liberty Media coffee cup. I start my day with a delicious, I'd say, world's best cup of coffee. And, you know, just kind of get ready to do the show. I mean, between the other stuff I do, you know, around the little homestead here. What did I do today? Not much of anything. Oh, yeah, I did a lot of watering today. Kind of, you know, looking after the fruit trees, the grass, the garden. Went to town, did our weekly shopping, got that out of the way. And then just, you know, come back and get ready to do this. And, you know, I hope you guys check out some other shows on Real Liberty Media. I love all the shows here on Real Liberty Media. It's kind of like you really don't have to go anywhere else. You can just get all your information right here, honestly. It's either in chat, following links, listening to or reading what people have to say in chat, chatting with people in there. Or listening to the shows, you're going to get a ton of information. And, of course, on the website, there's a blog post for all the creators here. And you can read through old blog posts. You can listen to shows, download them, whatever. Anyway, let's get to it, because I have what I hope always is somewhat entertaining content, whether you like it or not. It really doesn't matter. I think I talk about a lot of stuff I don't like, but I do talk about a lot of stuff that I do like. So I kind of wanted to start off telling this story, and I've probably told it before, but it's going to lead into something else. So, first of all, let me kind of cover what's on the agenda for meals this weekend. So today I'm grilling some chicken as soon as I'm done with the show. Got to clean the Barbie. I do that like once a week. So, like thoroughly clean it. Not just the regular shakedown after each grilling, but take it apart, clean it, put it back together. But today, barbecued chicken and some fresh steamed vegetables and rice. And then tomorrow, fish tacos, which is, I'm telling you, I've had fish tacos in the past. And at first I thought they were okay, but this recipe that we have is so delicious. My mouth is literally watering just thinking about it. And the reason we're doing that is because it's my daughter's birthday, and that's what she chose for her meal tomorrow. So fish tacos it is. And yeah, I grill the fish to put in the tacos. But I might just post this recipe if anybody's interested. It's so delicious. I'm not kidding. It's almost like overwhelming different flavors going on at the same time, and they all work so well together. It's fantastic. Anyway, if I can find the recipe, I'll put it in the show notes. But this is what I wanted to tell you. So I work for a company that I worked for in the past, like from 2006 to 2013. I worked for the same company I'm working for now. When I first came back to this company, and the only reason I'm kind of telling you guys these stories, well, one, I hope it's entertaining, and two, if it didn't happen to me, I'd find it kind of hard to believe. But anyway, when I first came back to this company in 2018, I worked for, whatever period of time, 2 or 3 weeks, and my first paycheck hits the bank. And my wife gives me a call, and she says, and I'm at work, all right, like treating patients. And she says, I think there's something wrong with the bank account. And I said, okay, what's wrong? And she goes, well, there's like $500,000 in there. And the blood drained from my face, and I was like, what? And she said, yeah, there's like $500,000 in the bank account. And I'm like, okay. I said, I got to get off the phone because I got to make some phone calls real quick. And I got off the phone. I called the CPA. And I was like, hey, apparently there's some mix up in the pay, and the company paid me like $500,000, and I want to make sure there's not going to be any tax repercussions, because what happened was, I guess when they paid me, it kind of paid me for all those years I didn't work for them. Or something like that. So this ginormous paycheck hit the bank. And anyway, so I got that fixed up. And then, it only took a couple days. And I told him, I go, listen, if you ever do that again, I'm cashing out and I'll disappear. You'll never find me again. But anyway, that leads to this little story. And let's see if I got this queued up right. Hopefully it'll play.
The poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food. And up to the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. Said, California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly. hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars.
Okay, so you're probably wondering, why is he playing the theme song for Beverly Hillbillies? It's actually called The Ballad of Jed Clampett, if you go looking for it. Because I know, probably now that you heard it, you probably want to add that to your collection, I'm sure. Okay, here's what happened. This week, I get a phone call from one of my brothers. And he says, you probably don't know this, but my wife and I went on a long vacation this year, and we went down south and visited family members. One thing I should explain, so my two brothers have a different father, so they're my stepbrothers, right? Half-brothers. So he and his wife went down south, Oklahoma, Texas, I don't know, they traveled the country, and hooked up with their sister. I guess she'd be my sister too, sort of. But they hooked up with their sister in Oklahoma, and his sister told him that a company was trying to get a hold of each of us because there was an oil well that my grandma owned that she left to my stepfather, that my stepfather left to us. So, of course, initially I'm thinking this is nothing but a scam. It's got to be. But my sister, who is my whole sister, is a lawyer. And she had also been contacted because they've been holding money from this oil well for years because they didn't know how to get a hold of us. And anyway, the bottom line is that apparently I'm part owner of an oil well in Oklahoma, along with my siblings. It's a crazy thing because, you know, like, I never would have expected this in a million years. What's really freaking funny is that my sister is a complete, like, tree-hugging liberal type, who drives a Prius, you know, believes in all this alternative energy stuff. And I told her after I talked to her, because I, you know, of course I was thinking this had to be a scam. And before anybody gets any ideas, it's not a ton of money. It's kind of funny just owning an oil well, I guess. In my opinion, kind of, it really tickles me to death. I've seen oil wells before. I never imagined owning an oil well, but my sister, who's a real tree hugger and, you know, absolutely against fossil fuels, I told her, I said, I'm going to tell everybody in your Facebook, everybody in your social media that you're an oil tycoon. So, anyway, but then she told me, she goes, well, I'm going to have a lot more input on these board meetings from now on, but I don't think there's any such thing. It's one little oil well in Oklahoma. I asked them, the company that was trying to get a hold of us, I said, well, is this oil well, is it actually working? And they go, yeah, it's actually still pumping oil. I'm like, oh, okay, good. You know, send the money, I guess. It'll be fun to have it. Anyway, yeah, so that's the crazy freaking story of the week. And I hope you enjoyed the Ballad of Jed Clampett there. And that's kind of how I feel, too. Just, you know, I'll use the money to, I don't know, pay. I don't know what I'll do with it. Maybe buy a new drone. Who knows? Yeah, that's no kidding. It takes a lot of oil and coal to make solar panels. That's no kidding. And quartz. Quartz and coal. A ton of it. I think I was hearing it takes 500. I know the number is right. 500,000. I can't remember if it was cubic feet or tons of earth to be mined to produce the stuff required to go in one of those car batteries or solar batteries. It's a ton. So those people who are the greenies who believe in that stuff, they really should look into how that stuff is made and how much earth is destroyed just to make their little trinkets, their little energy storing batteries or car powering batteries, and look at the human labor and human abuses that go into mining that stuff. Children, of course, I'm talking about. If you've listened to my show before, you know I talk about human slavery and child labor when it comes to those green energy sources. But we can ignore that because, of course, you know, if it's not out in the open, nobody cares. I think I'm going to come back to that topic a little later, too. I'm going to talk about the Olympics a little bit. In fact, that's the main thing I'm going to cover today, but it's going to come a little bit later in the show. Man, time flies when you're having fun, though. I was going to talk about the, like here on the homestead, the couple things I was going to mention that we have going on is, one thing is we have the vegetable garden fortress built this year. First time ever on the homestead, we actually put a fence up high enough that deer can't get in, which is really, really going to be a bonus because, you know, in years past, it's like, you know, we kind of grew food for, I wouldn't say for fun, but we didn't take it as seriously as we're taking it these days. I listened to Clyde Lewis, a Ground Zero, and last night he was talking about how, actually you should just listen to his show, but basically what I came away from listening to last night's Ground Zero show with was this. If governments around the world are all conspiring to make sure that we no longer are able to travel internationally, or let's just say if their goals now are that everybody has a vaccination card before they can participate in life, basically, by having the freedom to travel from country to country, or by having the freedom to go to a supermarket and buy groceries, or a farmer's market and buy groceries, or go to a concert, or go to a theater, or go out dining. If the idea is that you're going to need this verification of having a health procedure done before you can participate in anything, it kind of brings me back to, you know, homesteading in general and survival living, you know, preparing for not being able to access things that you need to access, like food, water, and shelter. You know, if you are going to need a vaccination card to go to the store to buy your food, you know, you could very well, if you decide not to take that jab, which I think there's very good reasons to not take it. I'm telling you, you know, I have really close friends. But let me finish my thought. The bottom line is, if you don't have that card and you can't go get food, you better have some alternative way of providing for yourself. And I think that's why I was talking about the garden and having the fortress up this year and taking it a lot more seriously, is because, you know, we're not growing acres and acres of food here. We're growing like a family garden that will provide a lot of food over a short period of time and some food into the winter. You know, we have some winter squash that are growing. Of course, we're going to have pumpkins. Of course, we're going to have zucchini. You know, of course, we're going to have tomatoes. You know, some things that we'll be able to can and some things that will just remain unspoiled in the ground, like potatoes. You can leave in the ground for quite a while after they're ready, or in a like a vegetable cellar, daylight, I forget what you call that cellar that you put your, and I have one here, but I forget what you call it, but basically a food cellar. You know, you can store stuff for a while in there. But the bottom line is, I mean, if we can't go access a root cellar, thank you. If we can't go buy the food we need to sustain ourselves throughout the year, then we need to be able to either trade skills or job hours, labor, something for food with other people who are like-minded, or we have to grow our own and protect it. You know, and one thing is you got to protect it from critters that want to eat it, and you have to protect it from people who are going to, oh, good. Well, Java, you take it easy. Kick back. I think most of us know most of you are suffering in a heat wave. I'm not, which is kind of incredible. It was supposed to be 90 today, but some clouds moved in. It's nice and cool, beautiful. I don't have the air conditioner on. Just sitting here kind of enjoying this beautiful day in Oregon. Anyway, so we have the Deer Fortress up. It's awesome. We have, and the garden is looking fantastic, even though we got kind of a late start on it. There's going to be plenty of food, barring any disasters. And those can always happen. You know, that's the thing about farming is growing your own food is, man, you never know what's going to happen. And by the way, if you have a chance, check out the Clarkston farm. This guy was a car guy, and he, you know, and I mean like a popular car guy, a guy that you would see if you watched car programs on any, you know, device or whatever, you would recognize this guy, kind of been around. But he bought a farm, not having the foggiest idea what he's doing, and it is a hilarious show. He just started it last year, started right before the pandemic, so the show is not that old. In fact, there's one season so far, or maybe two, but anyway, yeah, I don't think the bots are working. That's okay. Grimner will be up and at it again soon, we're all hoping. But anyway, so check out the Clarkston Farm. I found it on Prime Video, but it might be on somewhere else too. But holy cow, you talk about entertaining. I just constantly laugh my butt off. And there's a good lesson in there, especially in the first season of, you know, what can happen. Man, it's not like you just throw some seeds in the ground and, you know, weeks later you have food. I guess some food is like that. I always like to point out radishes. You know, those nice little red radishes or icicle radishes, the white long ones. Man, you just about can't fail with those. But, okay, on with the stuff, man. Where there is some stuff today. Oh, yeah, and the one other thing on the farm is the dang fruit trees, man. They are loaded up. I have this one pear tree. It's only a few years old, maybe 4 or 5 years old, maybe 6, but not any older than that. It looks a little bit like a Tootsie Pop because, you know, it's got this long, skinny trunk and then this big head of branches on it, and it is loaded. Like way too loaded. A week ago, I like look out there and the dang thing is bent over, like getting ready to break. So I had to prop it up And, I mean, it's kind of a good thing. It has a lot of fruit, but it would be a horrible thing if that fruit caused it to break and then, you know, destroy the whole operation for this year, at least. Most of those trees, too, by the way, they can come back from a lot of damage. I mean, they can take a lot of damage and still come back. I think the main thing is when they get damaged, you kind of have to look out for, like insects and stuff to get inside them and destroy them. But mostly, you know, they break branches or sometimes even the trunk. You usually can recover from that. Man, and the apple tree, I have a golden delicious apple tree out there. It, every time we go by it, we're pulling apples off and just tossing them out for the deer to eat because it is so freaking loaded. Like, unbelievable number of apples on that tree this year. So that's going to be a good thing. Then the other fruit trees, I have a bunch of figs I think I've talked about. I know I've talked about all these things before, but it seems like I kind of like to keep you guys updated just to see what's going on, you know, and see how the year progresses. And, you know, in the end, we'll kind of see what happens. It'll be interesting. So that should be it for the homestead. I'm kind of thinking anything else that's going on. No, I don't think so. All right, let's talk about, I want to find this story on the freaking, you know, the virus, the pandemic. Yeah, here we go. All right, so this story... You need two apple trees. That's true. You need one to pollinate. Sometimes you need a different... Actually, sometimes you even need just some kind of pollinating tree in the area. It doesn't even have to be the same. Yeah, that's right. Cross-pollination. And I forget which tree we have that's our pollinator. It might actually be a crab apple tree. But that's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, so, I saw this story, and I think everybody else has heard something about this story this week, but the wording that was used was really crazy. It says, the war has changed against the new Delta variant, internal CDC presentation says. But there's kind of an interesting twist to this story, but let me read through some of the news as they reported it. It says the coronavirus Delta variant may be as contagious as chickenpox and cause more severe illness than previous variants, according to an internal presentation from the CDC. And I just wondered if you noticed the wording may be as contagious and may cause more severe illness. And then it goes on to say vaccines continue to be highly effective. Sure. Let's see if that's actually true, especially at preventing severe illness and death, but may be less effective at preventing infection or transmission of the Delta variant. And this was first reported in the Washington Post, but you can go to the original source and there will be a link in the show notes. So I say, let's look at their words. So acknowledge that the war has changed. And when I read that coming out of the CDC, I was like, you know, it's interesting that they use the word war because generally that involves people. I mean, we've used it before, like the war on drugs, which didn't make any sense because drugs can't fight back. I guess you know that whole argument. It says the risk of infection with the Delta variant is likely only reduced threefold in those who are vaccinated, according to their slides. It says there are currently about 35,000 symptomatic breakthrough infections with any variant per week among 162 million vaccinated Americans. So that's kind of crazy. So basically it goes back to this idea that this vaccine doesn't do anything that, you know, by definition, we require vaccines to do. It says currently the risk of symptomatic disease is reduced eightfold and the risk of hospitalization and death is reduced 25-fold among those who are fully vaccinated, which I'm not really sure what fully vaccinated means, because if you remember, Biden said, if you're fully vaccinated, you're not going to have to wear a mask. And then he changed his tune, and now it's like, yeah, we got to go back to wearing masks. Now, why would you have to wear a mask if you were fully vaccinated? And I guess the word fully could be defined in a number of ways. And I guess what I'm thinking is what they mean by fully vaccinated is that you fully have immunity to every single variant that could come out of this pandemic, this COVID virus pandemic that we're all living through right now. Because having two shots doesn't make you fully vaccinated, obviously. Having one shot of, you know, having any of these jabs provides what seems to me to be little, if no, benefit. And really, I think the bottom line is it's going to come down to this. And I did actually do a show on how locking down the entire world population is only postponing the inevitable with this pandemic. I think true epidemiologists know that the pandemic is going to have to run its course, that eventually the world is, even if the world becomes completely socialist, communist, which basically we're not really that many steps away from it, people are going to have to go back to work. Not with masks and not with social distancing. Everybody is going to have to get back to life as normal. We're not going to be wearing masks for the rest of eternity, for Christ's sakes. We're not going to be social distancing forever. Yeah, natural herd immunity. That's what we need. And we need, if we want to be done with this pandemic, we need that more than we need anything else. And yes, it's going to be horrible. And yes, people are going to die. Yeah, people are going to die. You know, states are going crazy with masking up children because, you know, I know it's not because of the science, because you wouldn't mask up every single child under 18 based on the science. You're masking up every single child under 18 because you're afraid of one child dying that's going to make the news, and it's going to be, you know, your fault, whoever you are making the decision. But it's going to happen eventually. True scientists know it's going to happen, and that's the only way to get through it. We can't do this forever. We shouldn't do this forever. We should have let this thing run its course a year ago. We should have, after the initial, like, okay, you know, Wuhan screwed up, or, you know, the bats screwed up, or whatever you choose to believe. Once we realized that this was a pandemic, that this was a disease that spread easily or somewhat easily, we should have said, okay, get ready. We're all going to be sick. A bunch of us are going to be sick. Let's say, you know, over 50% of the world population is going to be sick. About, I don't know, what, 1% is going to die. And it's going to suck. I hope it's not you or your loved ones who suffer and die, but it's inevitable. It is inevitable. We need to come to grips with that and then start dealing with this as a real disease in a real world, not some crazy Hollywood makeup world where we all stay away from each other with masks on and, you know, pretend we're going to somehow outsmart this virus because we're not. And also stop trying to force people to get this vaccine, which I've said 2 weeks in a row doesn't meet the criteria for being a vaccine. It actually violates the Geneva Convention. And, you know, for some reason, the federal government is on the verge of demanding that everyone get vaccinated. We're already seeing the restrictions of ability to participate in daily life activities that are granted by the Bill of Rights, the right to life, liberty, and happiness. No concerts without a mask or a vaccine card. No pubs without a mask or a jab card. No shopping without a mask or a jab card. No school without a mask or a jab card. And if you don't take the mark of the current beast, and I put in quotes, this is not the biblical one, unfortunately, you are not allowed to participate in life here in these United States unless you're an illegal alien. The far left continues to berate Americans, telling them to trust the experts for everything COVID-related. But what about when the experts have lost credibility? Not only did the CDC base recent decisions on a report from India that was rejected when it was peer-reviewed, but officials also allegedly are allowing undocumented immigrants to enter Texas after testing positive for the virus. So, why is that? I mean, if it was so important to contain this virus, seriously, I mean, wouldn't they have... I mean, even... It seems to me, if you were serious about containing this virus, if you were serious about believing in the mask mandate and social distancing, you would not be allowing the traffic to pass through the border states as it does now, and you would not be busing, flying, driving, shipping, however, moving people from one spot throughout the damn states where they cross the border once they've tested positive, even if they didn't test positive. Hell, we're being told, even if we test positive, we're not going to be considered, you know, immune until we get the jab. And why would you get the jab? I mean, why would you? It provides no immunity to the virus. It doesn't protect recipients from getting the virus. It doesn't reduce deaths from virus infection. It doesn't reduce the circulation of the virus. And it doesn't reduce transmission of the virus. Why get this vaccination? It literally makes no sense. And why the federal government, why the Biden administration, why the current ruling, you know, political people, I was going to say class, but that's a stretch. They're not serious about, you know, restricting the spread of this virus. Right. Oh, yeah, I do believe it is to sterilize everyone and for population control. I truly believe there's a lot more to what's going on. And, you know, it kind of does make me favor the idea that this was a global agreement in some way to make the entire world a socialist community, which is kind of funny because it's not, I mean, that's not going to solve any problems. We're still going to have countries that want to take resources from other countries. There's still going to be all the same problems that we have now. It'll just be different. And, yeah, kind of, it's kind of like, You know, I was thinking when this pandemic started, I'm sorry about that. Let me take a drink. When this pandemic started, I went to look for a video game that would be similar to this pandemic. And I played this video game called The Last of Us because, you know, why not? It's like, let's see what this video game has that's similar to a pandemic. The Last of Us, the original game, was an awesome game. Really fun to play. Really interesting, too. They came up with The Last of Us 2, which really, I'm not going to create any spoilers here, but about half the people played it thought it was awesome. Half the people that played it really hated it because there is a shocker in that is hard to recover from if you're a fan of the original. But anyway, I don't know why I got started on that. But, I know why. It's because, honest to God, even driving back from town today, I was thinking, you couldn't make a Hollywood sitcom that was this flippin' ridiculous. But, I did play Red Dead Redemption. That's come from the chat room, by the way. Awesome game. Really an awesome game. Yeah, fantastic. But anyway, you know, I'm just saying, like, all of the complete hypocrisy coming out of the administration, coming out of the political parties on this whole vaccination jab thing is so damn ridiculous. Like, you couldn't write this as stupid as it has played out. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, you couldn't possibly, because, like, if you were trying to write this, you would be like, oh yeah, but I said this, so I can't turn around and say this now because it would contradict it. You just wouldn't be able to do it. But yeah, that's the way this has gone. I did want to talk about the Olympics. We got about 20 minutes left, so I'm going to talk about this because this literally made me laugh when I read this headline. And this isn't the original headline that I read, but it's close enough. It says NBC has 33-year low viewership for Tokyo Olympics opening ceremony. Not a happy benchmark. And actually, the article went on to talk about how all these investors, what do I want to say? I guess investors, you know, people who bought advertising for the Olympics, you know, how disappointed they are over the viewership of the Olympics. And I thought to myself, but this makes, I mean, what did you really expect, NBC? So I have a little bit of a take on the Olympic Games. I wrote it, so I'm going to read it. The Olympic Games brings back memories of when amateur athletes competed for world records or just to see who was best in the world at the time. The Olympic Games originated in ancient Greece roughly 3,000 years ago, with the first written record of the competition dating to 776 BC. Referred to as the Olympics due to the original events being held in Olympia, a sacred site in honor of the Greek god Zeus. And then I said, cue the LGBTQ POC woke music. Oh, never mind. It's too confusing to come to a conclusion on what music would not offend someone. So Quinn, a midfielder for the Canadian women's soccer team, the opening match of the Tokyo Games carried more emotional weight than other previous Olympic appearances because Quinn is transgender. There was the possibility for several more elite transgender athletes to compete in Tokyo. Nikki Hill does not qualify in the women's 1500 meters in the U.S. track and field trials, while CeCe Toepfler was declared ineligible in her bid to run in the 400 meter hurdles. You know, I can't. Volleyball player Tiffany Abreu did not make Brazil's final Olympic roster. The International Olympic Committee has allowed transgender athletes to participate at the Olympics since 2004, but until this year, none had done so openly. Let's look at possible reasons for the lack of viewership for NBC and the many sponsors that depend on great viewership to make their investment in advertising worthwhile. So is it possible that even though we are just seemingly and probably temporarily coming out of the pandemic lockdown, we prefer to go out and do something rather than sit inside and watch the Olympics? It could be. Could it be that we don't really see these athletes as amateurs anymore, since we send, you know, professional hockey players to the Winter Olympics, professional basketball players to the Summer Olympics? And I know there was a whole controversy before that Russia would always send their professional players because they weren't really considered professional because they played for the state, right? The state, air quotes. But then we got to the point where, hey, how could we not, how can we compete with these professional athletes? I mean, you remember the Miracle on Ice, of course, when the U.S. hockey team beat the Russians. That was way back in, I don't know, 80, something like that. It was a hell of a long time ago. But then we started sending professional athletes. I guess we made some kind of an exception, or maybe the Olympic Committee made some kind of an exception that you could send professional athletes to the Olympics. And then this year, it doesn't seem like we're even doing that good. I think the basketball team, they got beat first game out of the gate. And then just think about that. The United States Olympic basketball team made up, I'm almost sure, 100% professionals. I could be wrong. You know, they lost to, who knows, I think France or something, which is pretty embarrassing. It could be that there are other options of watching the Olympics other than on NBC. I'm so not interested that I didn't even bother looking into this. Like, I don't know if you can watch, you know, segments of it on YouTube or some other platforms that are, you know, airing certain segments of the Olympics. I know probably NBC has exclusive rights to commercial broadcasting of the Olympics, and of course they're probably copyrighted everything. So if you are broadcasting on another platform, it's probably illegal. It could also be that so many people have become disenfranchised with NBC over the years, and especially in the last year, that no one even bothers to check their listing to see what is on. I would think that the true lovers of some specific sport, let's say volleyball or swimming, synchronized swimming, gymnastics, whatever, would probably follow those athletes or sports and tune in. But I bet that number is pretty small. I mean, taking the world population and then, you know, a smaller segment of people who actually like sports, and what segment of the population likes sports actually likes women's volleyball or men's gymnastics or ice skating or whatever, I would imagine that number is pretty small. You know, it's kind of like I lost my train of thought. But it's kind of like, you know, the magic of the Olympics is gone. You know, it used to tune in to actually watch the Olympics and watch countries compete with each other. And anymore, you know, I don't know, it's not so much like that. I mean, who wants to watch athletes like, I have to speak from the U.S. side, United States. Who wants to watch athletes that supposedly, air quotes again, represent the United States of America, who turn their back on the United States of America, who turn their back on the national anthem, who don't like the United States of America because of whatever it stands for. You know, go to another country then. I mean, seriously, I would be so and am, although I haven't watched the Olympics seriously. I guess I watched that. Sorry, sometimes I just get so sidetracked. I watched that sport where they, you know, the guys who were, you know, pushing the stones down the ice and sweeping in front of it. What the hell is that called again? That's the last thing I watched because it was like, you know, here another miracle on ice coming. And now I can't even remember the name of that sport, but I think that's the last time I seriously watched it. Curling. Thank you, Beth. That's the last time I watched anything like seriously. It was like, oh, I want to see these guys who are, you know, hanging out at the pub afterwards drinking one. I want to see them win, man. And so that was kind of awesome. Anyway, back to it. So NBC, how did you expect to make money on the Olympics after you alienated over half of this nation's viewers in the past decade or so? You sold yourself out to the far left political party, or worse, you try to humiliate and harass or ignore, you know, the other half of the country or the flyover part of the country who really just want to live their lives, work the fields or their jobs, come in and relax to a little bit of entertainment before drifting off for a few hours sleep to rise early in the morning and do it all over again. Your programming mostly caters to the small minority segments of the population that feel they need everybody's full attention. You seem to need to push the liberal agenda in your daily programming to make sure all of us and our children are exposed to it. Luckily, NBC, you are not alone. The NBA, MLB, NFL, etc., etc., are all suffering, air quotes, suffering. They're all still making plenty of money, although they do claim that they're losing money or losing the rate at which they make money. That's what I should say. Due to their own inability, are all suffering due to their own inability to just deliver their service. That is entertainment, without caving to the popular movement at the time, whether the mass majority of their audience gives one rat's ass or not about the said movement. So, at least as we, the entire world, but especially the United States of America, you know, the country that actually has a Bill of Rights, drifts off to a nice, quiet, communist existence, or die from the jab, or die from the virus, at least some of us will protest your wokeness by not supporting you with our viewership or our money. So, that's my take on NBC and the Olympics. And now back to, let's see. Hey, did that in just a few minutes. Not bad. Okay, so I wanted to cover stuff. You know, I still haven't covered in a couple weeks. A federal judge declares Obama-era DACA program illegal. Now, here's what caught my attention about this story. So basically, a Texas federal judge on Friday, but this was 2 weeks ago, ruled that the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the DACA program, an Obama-era policy that shields certain illegal immigrants from being deported, is unlawful and blocked new applications from being filed. Congress has not granted the executive branch free rein to grant lawful presence outside the ambit of the statutory scheme, the PDF is in the notes, who was appointed by former President George W. Bush. The ruling is sure to put more pressure on Congress and the Biden administration to try and pass a permanent law. This comes as nearly 190,000 illegal immigrants were apprehended along the U.S.-Mexico border in June. And what I had to say about that, why I think it's so crazy, is because, this is why when somebody gets in office, they just pass these laws. Because here it's taken this long to get to the point where they which we all knew that, well, no, a lot of us knew that this law wasn't legal in the first place, but it's got to go through all these challenges, and it takes years and years and years, and in the meantime, they just let it like be active, let it continue to go on. So another thing was this, another kind of along the same lines, luckily this kind of got caught early, was the Farm Loan Program that was part of Biden's plan to promote equity. Remember, he passed a law that they would pay off the loans of Black, Hispanic, American Indian, Native Alaskan, and Hawaiian farmers and award them an additional 20% of the value as a cash payment. Anyway, so a district court judge granted an injunction against President Joe Biden's loan forgiveness program for non-white people, ruling in favor of a Tennessee farmer who filed a lawsuit and argued the provision is unconstitutional. You know, but, I mean, the problem is, again, it had to go through the courts, you know, to, luckily that didn't take long because Biden's only been in office for like 20, 30 years, something. It's been a hell of a long time. Way too long, anyway. What else I got? I got fast stuff to get through. The new snitch country. So this is coming. I know it's coming. Oh, boy. Is Grimner on? Is he coming? I'll finish the show and then I'll chat in chat room. Okay, the FBI is receiving criticism for a tweet it posted on July 11th that suggests Americans should monitor family members and peers for signs of mobilization to violence and report suspicious behaviors in an effort to prevent extremist activities. So I can tell you, my sister would be turning me in a heartbeat. And for what in return will you receive compensation? A badge and a brown shirt, maybe? Isn't this exactly what the Nazis did to sniff out the Jews? I'm pretty sure it is. And in Michigan, if you claim the election was a fraud, Michigan's attorney general, with assistance from police officers, will investigate people who claimed election fraud happened during a 2020 contest. A spokeswoman for Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel told the Epoch Times in an email on Friday that the Democrat will probe. Oh, the Democrat. It's a paper. The Democrat will probe people who allegedly made false claims with help from Michigan State Police. The spokeswoman said Nessel decided to launch the probes on a request from Republicans in the Michigan Senate. I find it hard to believe. Oh, God, one more thing. Great, we got 2 minutes. This blew my mind. Hi, Grimner. I'm glad to see you're here. This really blew my mind. The electroshock still exists. I really couldn't believe this. It said the case had an unusual background. The Judge Rottenberg Educational Center in Massachusetts treats people with severe mental disabilities, including severe self-injurious or aggressive behavior such as headbanging and self-biting. Some self-injurious patients do not respond to conventional therapies. You know where this is going. The center, with oversight from state authorities, uses an electrical stimulation device to briefly shock these patients to reduce or cease their behaviors. You know, shock collar. While electrical stimulators are used to treat a wide variety of conditions, the center is the only facility in the country that utilizes them for self-injurious behaviors. In 2016, the FDA proposed banning electrical stimulation devices to treat self-injurious behaviors, based on its determination that the device's long-term effectiveness was uncertain for that indication and that it posed a risk of substantial and unreasonable harm to patients. Duh. Electrical shock. The agency issued a final rule based on those findings in 2020, but families and guardians of self-injurious patients disagreed with the FDA's benefit risk determination, stating that the devices had been the only effective means of deterring serious patient self-injury. Along with the center, They sued to reverse the FDA's ban. The baseline legal question was, does the FDA have authority to ban an otherwise legal device from a particular use while allowing it for other uses? And the court said, no, they didn't. That the FDA didn't. All parties agreed that the FDA has the power to ban a medical device altogether. One section of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act gives the agency authority to ban a device that poses an unreasonable and substantial risk of illness or injury, but another section of the statute entitled Practice of Medicine prohibits the FDA from limiting or interfering with the authority of a healthcare practitioner to prescribe or administer any legal marketed device to a patient for any condition or disease with a legitimate healthcare practitioner-patient relationship. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. Thanks for hanging in there. I hope you enjoyed the stuff I talked about. I will be back next week with hopefully not another oil well story, but something equally as entertaining. Thanks, you guys. See you later.